Greg Show, Sportsnet 59 of the Fan. I'm JD Buggus. Ailish Forfar Oxcourt already just starts the day. But bang! Knocks it out of the yard. Huge rip to start the day.
I got lots to redeem myself today, so another trapdoor night for me in the Wake and Rake. So I got to hit with the songs, okay? I got to hit with the songs.
Oh, let me just say this for you, Ailish. If this were, you know, if Fat Joe, Ja Rule, and Ashanti came along 20 years later, there is no one I'd bet on more to have made a Bing Bong song than Fat Joe. Like a song with Bing Bong in the hook, or at least sampled for the beat.
Yeah, he's a big Bing Bong guy. I can see it. I can feel it. He's got the Bing Bong vibes.
Well, yeah, he's a Bronx guy, right? So I would just imagine he would have done. I gotta
see if he's on social media. He might be doing it.
Well, I'm trying to think about some New York rappers right now and try to do the bets in my head of who would be the most likely to do Bing Bong. But it is now at the point where I feel like it would be viewed as corny. Like, you'd have to use the... Yeah, now. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. So by the time guys got around to it and started to sample it, the sample people will use is, hey, yo, more than I think Bing Bong. Or, you know, I think it'll be one of the two. Either way,
that take. When you hear the Herb Gotti, it's that's where you'd get the F Your Life or whatever, the other part of it.
I know I'm old, though. Like, well, for many reasons. Like, Ailish told me about her getting a good sleep last night, and I was like, ooh, that's cool. That's really cool.
Congrats.
that's sick. Nasty. So then this is number two where she picks that song, and I'm doing the old man thing of, how do you know about that song? I don't, because when would that have come to you? You know, where does that, I guess in bars you would have got that. They still do throwbacks. That is a bad feeling. And I've had that happen a couple of times where you go to a bar and it's a way younger crowd than you. You're at like a university bar and they play music from your era, which is that for me. And people are vibing to it and singing it and going along with it. And I'm going, oh, we're still alive through the youth. Our music, we live on through you. And that's how I felt when you played that this morning.
Ready, because there's a reasoning behind, or like a theme behind these songs today.
Okay. All right. I'm stoked for it. Okay. So again, it is the Fan Morning Show. And yes, I'm sorry, but Ailish, you've trapdoored us again. And I just want to say this. Like, I wake up.
The first thing I do is check my bets when I wake up.
Yeah. I usually stay up late and watch all my bets. Last night was not one of those nights. I had the Denver Nuggets on everything. And they did me the sweetest thing where they just said, you know what, JD? We know that you're heading into NFL Sunday. We know you need a huge bankroll because you lose all your money on Saturdays and Sundays. So we're going to do you the sweet favor of just clearing this and letting you get a good night's rest before you get into football. So I wake up, and the listeners, the beautiful listeners of this show, sending me so many messages. I found out you lost through 20 Instagram DMs of people being like, trapdoor. But I had anxiety. I thought it was me. I freaked out. I almost dropped my phone. Almost fumbled the bag. It was you. You were the trapdoor queen. It's okay, though, because, again, the record, this is a team show. I don't view the Wake and Rake losses ever as, oh, this was Ailish's fault. I literally just always am like, can we go 2-3? Can we go 2-3 as a team? And if we're going 2-3 as a team on our best bets, then I feel totally fine.
See, I got a message on my Instagram from a guy named Josh. He goes, Jeff Carter return game, Ailish, X revenge game. And I knew it and I forgot about it. And I wish I could go back and have factored that. Probably. Let's take a look. The box score was horrendous.
Probably you did.
I went to bed at it was 1-1. It was 1-1. And I was like, oh, I'm feeling good about this. Don't feel great about it this morning.
No, that was a tough one. I thought the same thing. They were leading 1-0 too. They scored first. So it is a heavy, heavy weekend in the world of sports. Really just one of those, this is one where I'm almost glad we're locked down in a sense, because I'm like, I wouldn't have been able to do anything anyway. I would have been on the couch. And now I don't have to make an excuse. I'm just here. I'm doing what the rest of us are doing. I'm saying, all right, cool. NFL, loaded. Leafs, big, nice game. Raptors, kicking off on Friday, get to watch Cade. There is just a lot. But this is a good narrative weekend because games actually matter. And Mitch Marner's coming back. There's just a ton going on. So I want to start today with just asking you guys, what do you think the narrative this weekend is that you care about the most? The narrative that could shape this weekend that you care about the most. Blake, I'll start with you.
Yeah, so, I mean, my interest lies most in these NFL games. Obviously, it's such a monster weekend, six games spread out over 3 days. I'm not leaving the couch, right? Like, you've got one game rolling into the next. I do think, and I don't want to jinx the Giannis thing again, though. One thing I'm really curious, and this is more of the week ahead than just the weekend on its own because the Pistons are bad, but I think we're going to start finding out very, very soon if the Raptors are actually good or if this has been they're beating up on bad and shorthanded competition, because they've got the Bucks. It's the second night of a back-to-back, and then they're rolling into Miami after that. And that's not technically on the weekend. That's a Monday game, but it's still, you've got the Pistons who, even though they're bad, are 7-3 against you in the Dwayne Casey, Nick Nurse era. And then you've got the Bucks who are very good and looked amazing last night. And then you've got Kyle Lowry in the Heat. So I think, you know, that Suns game was a good first indicator, but I think we're going to know pretty soon if the Raptors are, you know, spicy enough for that sixth seed maybe and annoy a team in a playoff round, or if they're just that tier of, hey, yeah, we could beat all the bad teams. Like, you're not going to sneak a bad one by us, but we're not really a threat.
So Blake picked all the sports, basically.
I picked the Raptors.
Oh, and the Raptors, NFL.
No, but NFL, you got to be specific with the narrative, right?
Yeah,
like,
okay.
This is so. Yeah, I don't think the narrative of the weekend shaping is I like NFL, because I think we've established that quite some time ago. I actually like that one. My only thing is this NBA season with COVID and everything that comes with it, right? How many nights you just end up watching a bad team? Like, there's a reason why I bet Denver last night. And I know that's not all COVID-related, but it's the fact that there's a G League team playing in Portland right now, right? I'm watching dudes who I've watched the NBA my entire life, and I've always cared about the league follow it closely. And Denver was playing a Portland team that had three guys I was basically never heard of before. I went, who is this man? I've never heard of this man in my life. And so just, to me, there's just going to be ebbs and flows with the Raptors season, even as it continues. They're going to do a stretch where we go, this is it. They won some games against some meaningful teams, and then all of a sudden there's going to be nights where maybe they don't have somebody or they're playing a team that doesn't have somebody. And it's going to be really hard to piece those things together over the course of a week.
Yeah, it's helpful to have tests like that. And then they play at Dallas next week as well, which is another good one before the schedule gets soft again. It's just, you know, we're kind of riding high of, hey, they won six in a row, but every one of those wins you could have done the, well, who really cares? And then they played really close against a good, good Suns team. So I mean, it's maybe not a narrative so much as, hey, we're getting some higher fidelity information this next little bit, but
oh, Blake, everything's a narrative, buddy. This is welcome to my world. Everything's a narrative. That's a narrative, buddy. That's it. This checks the box. This is. Yeah. I was proud of you until you started to self doubt the narrative. I'm like, yes, narrative, Blake. Hit me with it. You're doing it. You're doing the thing.
Yeah.
This is a narrative.
Are they frauds?
I like it.
Or are they gatekeepers?
Yeah.
What's the
no?
What's the status of the Raptors here?
No, I really like it. I think that it's true. I just know that even if the Raptors win that game, I'll have question marks like, well, was Drew Holiday playing? How important was Drew? And that just seems to be the key to this NBA season, is who is surviving losses of players the best and who is struggling through it? Who is getting so much that you can't even rise above it? And then it's kind of, we'll continue to see.
One tiny, tiny thing on the Bucks, just because there's nowhere else we're going to work it in. When we had Xavier Moon on the show and asked him who the next CEBL guy to get the NBA promotion would be, he said Lindell Wigginton. East Coast in the NBA, got signed by the Bucks, played last night.
Where's he from?
I love it.
He's from Nova Scotia.
Yeah. Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Love that.
Yeah. Yeah. Shout out to he's the from Nova Halifax. Scotian
yeah. So,
NBA.
Just, you know, that's, we'll claim that that's as the one biggest more narrative. Show nod. We didn't have him on, but Xavier Moon got it right, and we get another Canadian in the NBA. So,
love good for that.
Him.
So, Ailish, for you, the biggest or the narrative that you care about this weekend that could take shape?
Easy answer would be Bills and Patriots, obviously. Got
oh,
a little
don't
bit of a...
lie. That's what you care about. That's not the easy answer. That's just the factual answer.
Yeah. It
don't
is
deny yourself
answer.
The truth.
It is. Yeah. You know, I really want to see how they fare. I mean, obviously, I have a vested interest in wanting the Bills to win, but I just think it's the conversation we've been having over the last week was, is it going to be a Bill Belichick defeat? Like, are they going to be beat by him? And I think that's the main the question that I have going into it. Obviously, they last time they played at home, it wasn't a great showing. I think there's a lot about the weather that was an issue. There was a little bit of excuses being made. It was cold and windy. Well, this time around, it looks like it's just going to be cold. Everyone's been saying that that's going to benefit the Bills. And I think, okay, that you kind of have a little bit of a confidence boost going in. But I want to see what rookie quarterback Mac Jones really has. I want to see if Josh Allen is going to have one of those games where it goes down in history as one of his biggest performances. I think there's just a lot of storylines going into that game. A lot of people are predicting it won't even be close. Like that Buffalo's just going to steamroll them. I don't know if I feel that confident. Maybe I'm
you
giving
are
myself...
very much down Buffalo Bills Twitter, Buffalo Bills coverage here by going, everyone's saying that's going to favor the Bills. Everybody's saying that the Bills are
well,
going
to
blow them out.
I want to see what my pals
Jordy?
Are saying.
Jordy? Yeah.
Jordy's not even an NFL fan.
He's not even a Bills fan? I figured this was a family affair. Usually Bills is a family affair.
Nah.
Yeah, it's. I don't know that that's like it's the second shortest line of the week. I don't think there's a. I don't think there's a ton of like any or there's confidence in the Bills, but I don't
just,
think it's
just by the. Okay, but you're just looking at the betting lines. I'm like talking about like reading research from
but
insiders.
Those people
or
aren't
analysts.
Putting those people aren't putting their money there, and the money is saying this is the second tightest game, perhaps.
Right. Okay. Well,
I'll say this though. I keep going back and forth. I feel as though, and maybe this is a dumb take, but. This game's either going to be close or a Bills blowout. There's no version of this game to me where the Patriots just run away with this game and we're going, oh my God, it's 30-14 for the Patriots. Hey, you can turn this game off because the Bills just completely crapped the bed and the Patriots are just a far superior team. I think we all sort of have this feeling of, hey, if the Patriots win this game, it's because they ran the ball, they forced some turnovers, they got to Josh Allen made mistakes, and they controlled the clock. Belichick came up with a few different things, and it worked out. And if the Bills end up winning this game, it could be in just about any type of fashion. They could come back, they could win, they could dominate this game, they could win. Devin Singletary has even looked better to the point where I'm going, maybe the Bills run the ball down the Patriots' throat, and Josh Allen just, it works even off a secondary piece. Nothing will surprise me from a Bills winning standpoint, and yet anything other than a close, tight, razor-thin Patriots win would shock me if the Patriots won. They win in a blowout, they win any other way, I'd be shocked.
So, minor sub-narrative to this one, does Blake learn the difference between Celsius and Fahrenheit? Because again, I teed this up as a 0-degree game the other day. That's Fahrenheit. So the current weather forecast in Orchard Park for round kickoff is feels like minus 20 with 15 kilometer an hour winds.
I saw that it could be one of the coldest games in history.
Yes.
In Buffalo. I think it was the second or third coldest ever in history, potentially. I'm really glad that I decided not to go to that game, too. We're going to talk to Charles Davis at 7, who's calling the game. I'm going to make sure that he's like completely well bundled. I can give him some tips about living in the cold. As, by the way, listeners, I got my heat back, so feeling good about that. That was why I was on a cold streak for betting also, because my apartment was freezing. So I give myself an excuse. Cold streak. Yeah, like I couldn't focus. So
so the big one is obviously the Ice Bowl, right? Like the Green Bay Dallas at Lambeau Field from the 60s, where it was minus 48 Fahrenheit with the wind chill. That's a high bar, but this one has a real chance to crack the top 10 of coldest playoff games. And then you Google that and you look at some of the pictures, and there's one from at Ralph Wilson Stadium, actually, in 1994, Bills Raiders. And like the tailgate has people making bonfires in garbage cans to stay warm. And like also the photos, there are just like some excellent mullets because it's the early 90s. I think, I don't know. I know we have doubts a little bit about the Bills' ability to play in this kind of weather. And you know, there's the joke that the Bills need a dome to maximize Josh Allen and stuff. But from what is the vibe going to be? What are the cutaway shots of the crowd going to be? What's the pregame vibe going to be? This is cool, man. I know it's really cold, but this is, if you're a Bills fan and you're going to this game, this is a never forget kind of game.
I agree. So I'm glad that, Blake, you brought up the 0 degrees thing, because sometimes I just trust you on things like the Nichols, where Nichols and I went. I was just in the States. I just left Nichols. I did the thing while I was in the States that everybody does when they're on vacation, which is if you get loose change, you just leave it on the dresser. Like, oh, it's okay. The staff will enjoy that as a tip. Oh, will they? You know, like a bonus to the tip is the 4 nickels you left on the dresser. That's so nice of you. Wow, what a philanthropist you are. But I believed you on no nickels for a second. Ailish and I doubted ourselves that nickels existed in the United States because of the way you said it. And I did the same thing with the Bills game. When I was researching this last night, the day before, where I was just looking up stuff about the Bills, one of the major stories was how freezing cold this was going to be. And I kept going, but Blake said it was going to be fine. That it was going to be
balmy.
Yeah, that it was a tropical game, that it was going to be zero weather. And the biggest story out of this game has been, oh, it's going to be one of the coldest games in NFL history. And if you look at this historically, this makes for weird games and blah, 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 blah.
It's just a reminder for everyone, when you look at the weather in a U.S. city, make sure you toggle that Fahrenheit back to Celsius.
We did have somebody tweet in and tag us both being like, it looks like it might be a bit cold. And then I'm like,
So I'm very – it's the number two game I'm interested in, I will admit. This weekend, it's the number two game that I'm interested in. And to me, this is all about Josh Allen, right? I already know Bill Belichick's the greatest football coach that I've seen in my lifetime and that I likely will see in my lifetime. So if he pulls off an upset, I'm not going to be shocked by it because it's Bill Belichick, right? I don't think Mac Jones is going to dominate in this game, and I don't really care because he's a rookie. I just don't. I'm not going to judge Mac Jones' career based on how he fares against a Bills team that was supposed to go to the Super Bowl. But that's it for me. This is a Josh Allen game, and that's what I care about from a narrative standpoint, is how does Josh Allen perform? Because he has had some stinker moments in the playoffs, and he has had some head-scratchers, and even though he has played, I think, really well from the last six games of the season, where I went, like, I really believe that when Josh Allen is at his very best, that he's the best player in the NFL. But then he also can be the guy who has 3 straight turnovers against the Atlanta Falcons, and there's that little bit of Josh Allen that won't let me just fully invest in that dude. And this is his opportunity. If Bill Belichick prepares for Josh Allen to try to take away his best thing, and we're seeing Allen rumble down the field on those big third down runs, we're seeing him rip it to receivers who can actually catch the ball in this cold weather. That's actually a bigger factor than I think Josh Allen, by the way. But if he puts up a 30-piece on Belichick's Patriots, we're going to come out of this talking about Bills to the Super Bowl being possibility, because maybe Josh Allen is the best player left. And that to me is the narrative of that game I care the most about.
Yeah, I think I was a bit broad when I said that I'm interested in the Bills game, but if I narrow it down, it's 100% on his performance. And I think if you look at the two games against the Patriots this year, I mean, I think that second game in New England was one of his best performances of the season. And I think that bodes well going into it, knowing that he basically dominated that team. He put the Bills on his back. He made it happen. So I think that is a really good feeling going into it if you're a Bills fan, knowing like he did what he needed to do, and he can do the exact same thing again. So that's kind of the thing. It's like, is he going to show up? Is he going to have that big defining moment that we put him in? Okay, I know he's not going to make the MVP, but you know, he's been up and down in those rankings for the last little while, and I think that this is like a really good opportunity to solidify yourself as one of those top quarterbacks in the league.
So the narratives here, can Blake figure out the weather? Will Josh Allen get JD's love finally? Will he be the number one candy baby finally?
Oh, no, he's already got my love. It's just a matter of can he...
the faith.
Yeah. Well, I really do believe that guy this is nuts. Patrick Mahomes is incredible, really. I thought about one of my narratives I care the most about is the Chiefs could end up just trouncing the Steelers in this game like everyone's expecting. But this is more from a couple weeks from now. And we could end up all kind of sitting back and saying, remember how we were all worried about the Chiefs and now they're in another Super Bowl and this is four straight years where they're in AFC Championship games and nothing matters other than Mahomes and the Chiefs and we're all just going to watch this guy do this for the next, eight seasons, right? What is going to change here? We're back to the Mahomes crazy takes comparing him to Brady. But I really do, when Josh Allen is at his best, I really do feel like his best is better than the other better's better, you know, whatever that say is. He's just so he's breathtaking.
Where I was going
better,
with that,
your
though,
best, better, best, yeah. better, whatever. I don't know how to do that saying.
You said it's the game your second, the second game you're most looking forward to. Is your first one your top narrative as well, or you got another narrative for us for the weekend?
Okay, so I'm really torn. I wanted to see
you're
where
gonna
you guys
went. You're
going to
double dip here.
Yeah, I'm going to double
dip. I was going to double dip, too. If you say Marner, then I'm also on board with that.
Yeah, okay. Then I'm going to go there just to switch it up because we've touched on a bunch of different sports. It's only one Leafs game this weekend, right? They only play Saturday against the St. Louis Blues. And that's sort of a sleepy Saturday night game. St. Louis, who cares? No offense to Cam Jansen, who's coming on later in the show. No offense, Cam. So
he cares.
It doesn't count. It doesn't count because I said no offense. I know for you guys it's your Super Bowl because people will watch your game, but for us in Toronto, it's just whatever. Mitch Marner's coming back, and the Leafs have been 5-6 without Mitch Marner. And, yeah, they had some real positive things to build off of without him in this little stretch, right? Where you thump the Edmonton Oilers in an empty arena, and we kind of go, whatever, and you'd have that game against the Senators. But then you blow a lead against the Colorado Avalanche. You blow a lead against Vegas. You pick up a win in overtime, but it wasn't one that people feel great about. And then all of a sudden you lose to worst team in hockey, the Arizona Coyotes. And coming out of it, the narrative has started to form of, if Marner's in these games, how many do the Leafs win? If this is what Marner provides you, which is a nothing, like I put it in one of those, I can't remember which show I did it, but hey, this is again an example of why you need Marner, is because if you don't have him on the score sheet, maybe you can't beat the elite teams. If Mitch Marner comes back this weekend and the Leafs look fully formed again, the Leafs have a dominant game against St. Louis in an arena full of fans and against a competent hockey team, I wonder if the worm starts to turn on the Marner narrative and if this is the first step towards the healing. I know ultimately it is about the playoffs, blah, blah, blah. Save it. I get it. Everything about the Leafs is about the playoffs, but I can't fast forward time. I'm living in this moment right now. I wonder if a lot more Leafs fans just start to recognize his importance and people start to, I don't want to say not hate the guy, but that's sort of how I feel about it. People hate Mitch Marner in this city, and maybe, just maybe, he can have a really nice game Saturday night. The Leafs can get a dominant victory, and Monday morning we're talking about how important this guy is to the team again, and the healing begins.
Yeah, subset of that narrative that I'm excited for is to see how they place him in the lineup or how they place the top six. I mean, Andre Kasha has been one of the best players over this stretch, and you know, how does he continue in that top six? Is he on the top line? Is he on the second line? Or are they going back down to him being the kind of the anchor of the third line as well? So I think that will be an interesting narrative that I'm looking forward to. We bounce it around, like, obviously you shouldn't break up Matthews and Marner. Like, they've been one of the most dominant duos over the last two seasons. Obviously you got one of the best goal scorers in the world with one of the best playmakers in the world. But I don't know. You know, Marner's coming off of being in COVID protocol for 10 days. Before that, he was injured and missed a little bit of time. So he's kind of in that, like, in between. It's like, is he fully up to speed right now? Do you throw him right back into the mix? He's going to practice, I think, yesterday, or he maybe came into St. Louis today, actually. So he's going to get one practice probably under his belt before the game. So I think there's a lot of intrigue in how they roll out this line. I mean, Bunting's been a pretty good addition as well, like being up there. He was on a four-game pointless streak before he got this big promotion again to the top line, and he's definitely made his mark again in that lineup with being beside Matthews. So it will be interesting to see how they kind of roll this out. I think that's See, that's when I said, I'm not sure if the Bills are my narrative because I really do want to see how the Leafs respond also.
No, you care about the Bills. Don't say it. It's like, yes, we do care about how the Leafs respond. But, Ailish, I know you, and I know that you're not going to come into Monday's show and Marner plays on the top line and has a good game. You're going to be like, bing bong, Marner play. You're gonna, if the Bills win, it's going to be a lot of bing bongs and a lot of trash talk. And if they lose, you're going to be in the dumps. And we're going to have to scrape you off the bottom of the floor like a piece of gum people stepped on if the Bills end up losing this game to the Patriots. So, no, I'm not letting you have the I maybe care about the Marner thing more.
I do think that there's something to be said about St. Louis, too. Like, I don't really agree with the sleepy take because they've been really, really good. And they've been 15-3-2 at home. They rank third in the Western Conference in points per game. And the Leafs are 9-5-2 on the road coming into this. Other than Auston Matthews having that goal-scoring streak, it's been a bit up and down in terms of their production. So I am a little bit worried about a St. Louis game and what they can provide. I think they have a couple people out for health and safety protocols as well. But I think when's the last time I really zoned in and watched a St. Louis Blues game as well? I think that they are a sneaky cup contender team. So they're looking for their fourth straight win as well coming into this game. So I think there's a little bit added narrative to just like what St. Louis can provide as well.
So, Ailish, I have to ask, I know it's early for this, we're doing betting later, but are the Bills a stay away for you because of how emotionally invested you'll be? Are they a happiness hedge? Because
no happiness hedge this weekend.
Saturday has the potential for a super homers parlay for you.
It's going to be a super homers parlay.
Leafs and Raptors both in action, as well as the Bills. I don't really know how you do it with Bills and Patriots playing each other because you can't put both your teams in the parlay.
Okay.
But the super homers parlay. And the Raptors will be significant underdogs at Milwaukee on a back-to-back. And the Leafs at St. Louis, I don't know. It's the Leafs. You can never project the lines, but they probably should be a slight dog in that one.
I think it'll be close to those betting lines. I don't think I can do the homers parlay yet because it's Friday, but I'll be sprinkling in as much good vibes as I can for all three of those of my teams.
Just $5.
Just $5 for sure on that because the Raptors will be the potential trapdoor in that one against the Bucks team, especially if Drew Holiday does come back. But Marner is going to be interesting. I think the Blues are a good team. I just mean it more in that I don't think that they're a Toronto Maple Leafs fans are paying attention to team like the Missouri
Definitely
guys. I think that this is a here we want what are the highlight reel sexy games. And if St. Louis is in town, I don't think people are going, what we need to do is go to this game. We need to get to the St. Louis game, even though I think they have arguably the most beautiful uniforms in all of professional sports. So, one last one if I am going to double dip, because I do think that is the Leafs narrative. And yes, I care about those lines, but I also think that those lines could continue to shuffle. It's a little bit of the Raptors-Blake narrative where we go, hey, will we learn more about this team? I'm going, yes, we will learn more about this team, but do I feel like 2 weeks from now another narrative could take shape? I absolutely do. Whereas with football, it's definitive, right? There's going to be some definitive takes that come out of this weekend, and that's why if I'm being really honest, the narrative I care the most about is going to come out of the Dallas and San Francisco game. I'm a 90s baby. And so this to me is just so 90s, right? This is that 90s show, is Niners versus Cowboys.
You weren't born in the 90s.
No, but I'm a 90s kid. Like, I'm a 90s kid. Like, I was a kid in the
90s. You can say that if you weren't born in the 90s.
No, I get what he's saying. Like, he was born. You're 86, JD?
Yeah.
Yeah, so you were the first time you have like consciousness and awareness of what's going on around you, especially in like your age 4 to 14. Those are your formative sports years, and they were all in the '90s. Is what he's trying to say.
I've never heard somebody say that wasn't born in the '90s.
Again, what do you know? You've been on this earth for 5 minutes. Like, why are you trying to tell me?
I'm just saying.
No, hang out with more old people, I guess.
Yeah. Okay.
90s kid all the way. 90s are your years. Dallas and San Francisco is the 90s. And that's why My grandfather was a Niners fan. My father, like my dad, was somebody who flipped between basically every bandwagoner team. He was like the ultimate football bandwagoner. But I have a lot of family members, like a lot of us probably do, who are Cowboys fans or Niners fans in this country. And in the States as well, because those were the 90s teams. So a lot of people gravitated towards them. So there's kind of this cool, deep connection between these two franchises that we get to see played out on what do they play, Saturday? Yeah, they're the Saturday
Sunday.
Game?
No, they're the Sunday afternoon.
They're Sunday afternoon, 4 o'clock game, right. I should have known that because Sunday at 4 is the premier time slot for football. So Sunday at 4 o'clock, these two teams play. I care about just the way the uniforms look against one another, the stadium, the field, the fan bases, all that stuff is good. But ultimately, narrative-wise, what I care about is both these quarterbacks have just a massive amount on the line to me. Both these teams, when they're going at their best, I really do believe that they could each make the Super Bowl, especially in an NFC that is not particularly loaded. I think we've overrated the NFC to a degree this year, where Green Bay is very good, and I do think Green Bay is going to go to the Super Bowl. But the Bucs seem a little bit more vulnerable. There's not this dominance from a team like there has been before. The Niners are cooking. The Niners are hot. And we have seen Dallas against a lot of bad teams, granted, but at times look like a group with unmatched athletes who can and who should be able to hang with any team in football. But you know what I have big question marks about? Both these quarterbacks. The Niners probably win this football game if Jimmy G can just play competently and not turn the ball over. But do I trust him to do that? No, I absolutely don't. And the Niners' championship window is now. If Jimmy G plays poorly, it's going to be a big story. But if he plays great, we're going to be talking about things like, wow, the Niners could go to a Super Bowl. And that's the same thing with Dallas. Is Dak got hurt. He came back. He looked better than we thought. But as the season went on, there were a lot of spotty Dak Prescott moments, especially considering that this guy has a team that is built around a passing attack right now. So statistically, I don't really care about Dak Prescott yards. Is he going to be new Matt Stafford, where I go, take out the stats, I don't care, this guy's not a winner? Or is he going to beat a red-hot Niners team and actually put his foot down, stamp down, and say, no, I am one of the league's 10 best quarterbacks, and we are about to go on a Super Bowl run. Whichever guy ends up losing this game, we are going to have extremely hot takes about, and whoever wins it has a chance at really changing who they are in the NFL. So yes, this is the game I care about the most, and these are the two quarterbacks that I think have the most to gain and lose.
For sure. I agree with you there. And Jimmy G, I mean, if he goes on a nice playoff run here, we're talking about what does this mean for Trey Lance, right? And on the Dak side, like, I feel like sometimes Dak still gets talked about, like, with a little bit of the prospect gloves. He's 28, and this is his sixth full season, or fifth if you discount last year with the injury. But this is his sixth season as the Cowboys starting quarterback, and he's 28 now. This is the time you want to see it. And I've been pretty high on the Cowboys all year long relative to just where they were. They're, you know, you look at the matchups, and I know we have our issues with DVOA sometimes and stuff.
I think the Cowboys are, right?
Pardon me? Yeah, they're number
one. First, right?
Yeah, they're the top team by DVOA. Yeah. It's the, other than KC, Pittsburgh, I believe it's the biggest DVOA gap of any game on the, or no, Tampa, Philly is a blowout as well. But yeah, the Cowboys profile like a really strong team, and if they don't win a first round playoff game against a team where you're supposed to have the quarterback advantage on paper, I think that that's going to be a tough one for Cowboys fans.
I think that's the upset of the weekend for me. I think Niners have the opportunity. They've been one of the teams that nobody really wanted to face in the playoffs. I'd be curious to see what Charles Davis has to say about which team he thinks actually can provide an upset this weekend. I think that I'm on that. And like I've done, when I just look at what the experts are picking, a lot of people are feeling the same way, that they don't have many weaknesses. They got a strong offensive line. They have a little bit of their riding a little bit too coming into this. Like they had to fight, they had to get in. Now, what can they do? I think that they can upset.
So let's take a break. I'm very excited for that game. We've got tons. We've got picks with Coolback Chris later. The Wake and Rake at 8:30, which, again, remains absolutely scorching hot. I've said it to people. I'll say it again. Follow on Instagram. Shoot me a DM if you've never played before, if I haven't. And, yeah, I'll set you up with a promo if you are a fan of this show, if you are a fan of this podcast. And yeah, let's make some money this weekend. Hopefully we don't end up having another trapdoor we can rake. But I will say that the last time Chris was on, we all went 4 for 4. We made money. The vibes were high. We were feeling good. Let's get back to that. Let's get back to that place. Let's all make some money. Let's all watch some football. Quebec Chris coming up later. Charles Davis coming up later. Loaded show. Tons of football talk. Doug Whaley, former Bills GM, current analyst. He's going to join the show. Guy that was part of drafting, part of the front office that drafted Big Ben. What he's going to be feeling watching this weekend. Tons and tons and tons more football talk today. It's the Fan Morning Show. JD Bunkus, Ailish Forfar, Blake Murphy. Subscribe to this podcast. Leave a review. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram. The A-List next.
It's a Fan Morning Show, Sportsnet 590 The Fan. That's me on the aux cord. So far, 2 out of 2, guys.
That's me singing this song.
That's me. I would like to.
I'd like to call a press conference quickly on this aux cord, and I'd like to issue the following statement. Shuffles papers. This is the best aux cord we've ever had, nor will we ever have. It's already locked in. I can already feel the vibe. This is what the aux cord Friday was meant to be. It wasn't Blake depressing us going into Friday. It was always supposed to be like Ailish, you know, pumping us up. This is happening. It's like, this is what's happening here. Like,
look,
this
I was going to save
know?
This.
It wasn't
for...
Blake showing off.
Here's an indie band that has later. 6 followers.
Yeah.
Did it rain in Baltimore on the weekend? Yes or no?
Blake just making everybody sad. Blake making us unbelievably sad or being like, guys, you are not going to believe this band from Chechia. They are lighting it up in Chechia right now, everyone. So, yes, no, this is fire.
Look, man,
this is amazing.
If you don't like Swedish death metal, I don't even know what you work out to.
Oh, listen, Gothenburg.
If you're listening on the podcast, you can find my actual playlist because you're not hearing the right songs. I've had people be like, "You said yesterday that was a Kodak Black song, and it wasn't." And I'm like, "Because you're listening on the podcast, and we do not own the rights to Kodak Black music." So if you're listening on the podcast and you're wondering what my fire aux cord is, you got to go to Blake's Spotify and what is it, Blake?
It's E. Blake Murphy, but Ailish, you can tweet the Spotify link out after the show today.
But that's good. That's good because I do forget that a lot of the times when we're doing the show is that we have a big podcast audience and people never hear the songs we're talking about.
Know.
So yes, is that number one on the A-list today? Guess what though? We do own the song for the A-list, so people do hear this song.
That's true. And I thought that Country Grammar was a good one because it's like he goes hot ish. You know, instead of the other word, it kind of sounds like A-list. Am I pulling at strings there? Ailish! You know?
Play it, Vic.
It's time for the A-list.
Bing bong!
Bing bong!
Bing bong!
Sup, baby?
I think there's something to be said there. Ailish! You know?
Yes, sure.
Vic, can you play the beginning of the song again?
He'll play it. He'll get it.
Ailish. No?
Yeah, you're gaslighting me, though. You're like, say it. You're like, you hear it? I'm like, okay, I kind of hear it. But you know what? That time around, I kind of heard it. So I hate to admit it, but it's true. You're right. You're right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
When you tell me beforehand.
You have to listen.
Yeah.
It's evened out, though, but heading into these games this weekend, playing the world's largest St. Louis Blues fan on the aux cord, I don't know. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, maybe it'll like mush them.
John Hamm makes music.
No, it's Nelly, man. Come on.
Okay, A-list time.
That's the biggest Blues fan.
This time we already played the stinger, so I feel good about it. This is a follow-up to a previous A-list that I had. We've gotten more information, so we gotta circle back for my loyal A-listers. So I don't know what day it was, maybe Monday. I talked about Logan Paul and his Pokemon cards. So he bought these Pokemon cards on eBay for $3.5 million. Okay. Yet they weren't really verified to be authentic. He was going to fly down to get them checked by some, I don't know, professional authenticator. Yep, they were completely bogus. They were fat, phony box of fake Pokemon cards, which we weren't surprised about. But of course, he got scammed big time, big time, big time. But the guy reimbursed him his $3.5 million, the guy that sold it to him, which I don't know, like, it's your fault for buying the wrong cards. You know, you bought them on eBay. You didn't do the research. I don't know.
That's
but
your
I think
take.
If it, but that, if it oh, is hey, Logan I'll, Paul,
I gave you $3.5 million. It's too bad. But, you know,
I think if it was a regular guy, you wouldn't be reimbursing. Like, there's no, I don't know. You buy what you buy online. Like, it's you don't.
See,
get to, it's not like you bought a sweater and you get to return them. But the fact that it's Logan Paul, I think it helped him get his $3.5 million back.
I don't know. Well, I think, well, first of all, if you're buying something for $3.5 million, you're some type of a rich person. So I don't think that the rich get rich by being like, hey, I bought $3.5 million worth of bad Pokemon cards. Oh, well, too bad. On to the next one, I guess. I'll go to a different site and try to find me some new Pokemon cards. Like, no, that's not how this is working. That's not the modus operandi. Whoever has $3.5 million to just throw down on cardboard – I'm thinking that you're probably going to get your money back. To me, when you're saying who got scammed, I feel like all of us are still getting scammed, that these guys just find elaborate ways for us to talk about them, and that all of this is just BS. All of this is fake. None of this is real. This is just promotion for the Paul brothers, who have been getting scammed a lot lately, right? I think this is just a way of, if you want to really go deep, me, conspiracy brain, now that I'm thinking about it, which I don't spend a lot of other times thinking about the Pauls. Logan still hasn't been paid by Floyd Mayweather, according to him. Floyd Mayweather owes him money. Maybe one of the ways of keeping that story in the news and the pressure on Floyd, rather than just always sounding like he's whining about getting scammed, is to have another scam that's out there that people go, well, you got that money, now you can get the Floyd money back. And he goes, oh, right, about the Floyd money, about those millions of dollars. So, yeah.
Okay, I see
that's where I'm at now. Conspiracy brain. Conspiracy brain that this is all an elaborate way for him not to look like a crybaby, complaining about Floyd not paying him over and over and over again each day.
It's a sneaky galaxy brain moment from you, but I could see something there. I could see it. Hopefully that's the end of that conversation, but I just wanted to follow up in case you were curious about what happened to the Pokemon saga. So this one, though, this is one of an all-time A-list segments, let me tell you. So we know that we've talked about the weather heading into the Buffalo Bills New England Patriots game. We know that it's going to be one of potentially the coldest games ever played in Buffalo.
We now
what do you
know
do?
That. Before
we
thought
know
it
that.
Was a balmy Saturday.
Yes, we have confirmed that it will be
Blake was going to show up in his shorts. Yeah.
What we do know is when you're playing in conditions like that, usually you wear base layers, you got fleece-lined thermal underwear, you're pulling out all the stops, like me in my apartment for the last few days.
All the hot stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, all the ski gear, everything. Yet ESPN personality and former NFL linebacker Bart Scott had a little bit of a different idea for Josh Allen. Here's the clip.
Josh Allen listening. Can people get this message to him? Viagra. Take some Viagra for the game, baby. Got to fit that circulation going right.
Oh, leave the clip. No, leave the clip. Play the clip out, Vic. Do you have more of the clip or is it cut short?
Yeah, I sent him a minute clip. I think he's got more, but I can't hear him. So
I was listening to our buddy Dan Hanzus on this, and he nailed this take, which is that, okay, Bart Scott's not being funny. He actually is telling you that this was originally a heart medication and to increase blood flow, and that a lot of guys in football take Viagra. And the nerds on that show are like, oh my God, he said Viagra. Oh, we don't know what to do with this. We're just so stumbling around. And it reminded me of you two nerds whenever I say things like that. And you two go like, oh, JD, you can't say that on the air. You can't say car full of dead queen. And then you get all kind of like, you should be able to relate. This is the same dynamic. I'll say something. And
Vic,
then
do you have the full one with the more explanation?
You get all nervous and you're like, oh, he said Viagra on the show. Also, it should be pointed out that this is something where Viagra, Cialis, all those companies, the male, they're not enhancement pills. What are the, they're not fertility pills.
Performance pills?
Performance pills, yes. Male performance pills. There's like ads for those run all Sunday. And so why those people are in such shock and awe that he references this is hilarious to me.
Okay, let's hear the whole thing.
Yeah.
Can people get this message to him? Viagra. Take some Viagra for the game, baby. That'll fit that circulation going right.
I don't know how to move off of that.
I don't have any medical background. I don't really have a response to that, but you play. So you must know something.
A lot of us take Viagra, right? Because Viagra opens up the blood vessels.
A lot of us take Viagra. What do you mean
a lot? A lot of NFL players, at least in my day, took Viagra because it opens up the blood vessels. A lot of endurance athletes, because Viagra was first a heart medicine, right? So it builds up circulation, which makes sure that it gets those circulation to the feet.
Okay.
These statements have not been evaluated by
me.
Like, it's the dorkiest thing I've ever heard from those other people. So,
not only is it dorky in the you had Viagra, it's also dorky in the sense that he goes to these haven't been, like, medically verified. They have. Like, there are studies of Viagra treating Raynaud's condition or Raynaud's phenomenon, which is a circulation disorder. There are, like, entire studies of its effect on blood flow velocity. Like, there is – you think I'm going to nerd this up by being like, oh, no, you said Viagra? I'm going to nerd this up by being like, oh, no, here's
I was
the
gonna
science.
Say.
Here's my little diorama showing Josh
say.
Allen.
Ray, Nazis.
Where and how the blood is flowing.
The studies, I love it. That was actually one of the funniest things ever, is Blake being like, look at you nerds. This is even the nerdiest part. You should have done the right nerding, which is to bring up the studies, to have the studies at your disposal. It's just so – Bart Scott played in the NFL, and he's telling you something that is an interesting thing. That is, a lot of players take this when they go into a game. And instead of responding with, oh, how many players? This is something you've taken. It helped you. You found it helped you. Was it psychological? Did it actually work for you? Did you notice a difference? All of them, like, I think it's Louis Riddick that's like, I don't know where to go. I don't know how to move off of that. It's so embarrassing. It's so embarrassing. So think about those two whenever I talk about cars full of dead queen moving forward, all right? You know, that's what I want you to know. That's a deep cut for people who have been listening to this.
If you know the car full of dead queen, you're a legend. You're part of the OGs for sure. If not, sorry. Mm-hmm. We respect and we love the queen. No question about that. So yeah, the Viagra segment, love it. Thought it was hilarious. It clearly is an actual medical thing, but it just blew up in terms of like, get Josh Allen Viagra. Oh my God. We just
Boners.
Had somebody texted in on the text line saying at 590-590. Texts all day in today. It's a fun Friday. We'll be taking your texts. Guys take them at the gym like a thermogenesis for shredding and weight loss. Mm-hmm.
Okay. I don't know about all that. I don't want to be walking around the gym with some of the effects of that.
I don't think it works like that.
No, I know it probably has.
Vic
to
is
be.
Our resident expert on this topic. Yeah, he's gonna have to let us know during the break.
I'm imagining now, you know, in The Water Boy, when he gets laid out and someone brings like this super icy cold pure water to revive him. That's what I'm imagining happening to Josh Allen this weekend, where like he gets completely laid out and someone runs out and crushes up a Viagra for him. And it's like, you know, it's like when they wave sniffing salts under someone's nose, they just like they give them the Viagra and let's go.
Okay, what an ad for Viagra.
Yeah, I mean, Viagra sales are through the roof this weekend for sure.
Through the roof.
And Everyone's if you're going like, to the Bills game and you're going to be standing out in the cold, there's an option for you. Okay, quick one before we take a break here.
No, don't do that. If you have to just stand around, no, that's not what we
you
want.
You and the boys.
That's not what we want. Stop
Louise.
Okay. Just a quick fun one. Russell Westbrook was trolled during the loss to Sacramento Kings. Every time that he missed a shot, they played "Cold as Ice" through the speakers. I thought it was amazing. He only finished the game with 8 points. He went 2 from 14 from the field. I'm so aware. He played the song quite a lot. I just thought it was a really fun troll job. And then to add to that, the Kings put up on the scoreboard, they put Russell Westbrook as the ice cold player of the game.
Yeah. The NBA actually came out and said they can't do that anymore. The it's something that they've done to other teams and other players in the past. Amazing. But now it's like it happens to the Lakers and Russ in like the first Sacramento Kings game. 80% of fans are watching this year, and now it's a big thing. The NBA, don't be so sensitive to stuff like that. It's cool. It's fun to chirp the other team like that. There's no harm in it.
Totally.
That's embarrassing for the NBA. That is so, so unbelievably embarrassing. I had not heard that part of the story. Just shut up. It's you have ticket-paying customers, right? People who are going to the stadium in Sacramento, watching these games, enjoying trolling Russell Westbrook, and this league has gone so far with protecting its players that is gauche. Like, shut up. Honestly, I'm so upset by this. This has now turned a fun story into something lame. You know me. I care about the fans. I care about the fan experience. Do you know how much it costs to go to a basketball game? The idea that you can't now hear the music you want, you can't yell at Russell Westbrook. You just got to sit there. Hey, Kings fans, NBA wants you to give your money to the stadium and then go sit there and be very respectful. And if Russell Westbrook goes 2 of 14, you know, at the end of the game, you say, "You tried your best, Russ. You tried your best, Russ." And then he goes home with his millions of dollars. And that's just the way that it should go. NBA is a joke with this stuff.
It wasn't even a Russ complaint, though. Russ thought it was funny. He laughed about it when he got asked about it after the game.
No, but Blake, actually, this is how I know Russ is broken, is that he's playing so bad that he's even going, "Ha, ha, 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 ha. Yeah, I suck right now, you guys. Ha, ha, ha." Dude, he's ruining the end of LeBron James's career. He's from California, and this is his now entire legacy, is being a bum on the Lakers. You think it matters what you did in Oklahoma City? No, it doesn't. It doesn't matter whatsoever. He's ruining the way that we look back on Russell Westbrook's career because of what he's doing next to LeBron James in the media mecca of basketball with the Los Angeles Lakers. He's feeling it.